The British phone hacking scandal claims its highest profile executive.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. The embattled head of Rupert Murdoch's News International Division, Rebecca Brooks, resigned today. In the wake of news that tabloid journalists at Murdoch's British News of the World newspaper tapped voicemail and phone conversations. Let's get the latest on this story from Archie Bland. He's foreign editor of the Independent newspaper. He's with us now from London. Hi, Archie.
Hi there.
Why now? What was the last straw?
Well, that's one of the weirdest things about this whole affair is that, you know, if Rebecca Brooks had gone a year and a half ago or even 2 weeks ago, it might have made a really profound difference to the chances of the organization recovering. You know, it's very hard to see exactly what's pushed her over the edge. I mean, it may be that this FBI investigation supposedly into the 9/11 people might be one of the factors. It may just be that she felt that she'd had enough. But now that the bid was off the table, there wasn't that much point in her sticking around.
How does this factor, Archie, into the company's business plans in the UK and elsewhere, even here in the United States?
Well, it's pretty profound difference. I mean, one thing is that she's someone who's run newspapers before, you know, who has a profound interest in and love for newspapers, whatever she did with them. The guy who's replacing her is the former chief executive of Sky Italia, which is a broadcasting organization. James Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch's son, is far more interested in that side of their business than he is in newspapers. So it could proceed to kind of a move away from their interest in print media. Whether that'll have an effect in the States, I don't know. But, you know, it's certainly going to have a very big impact on what happens in the UK.
Do you think, deflect the investigation going forward, that now that she's gone?
I don't think so. You know, I mean, I think, you know, criminal charges, if they ever come up, will still apply. And I think it won't, you know, it won't stop them looking very closely at a number of people who are still employed by News International. What it may do is it gives them a better chance of saying that they've cleaned house. You know, that if she is... ever charged with a crime, that they're able to say that they've moved on from that era and therefore able to draw a line under it and hope that they can move into an era without these kind of crises that have been hitting them again and again over the last few months and years.
Archie Bland, foreign editor at The Independent. Archie, thank you.
All right, thanks very much.
Today, the Chinese government reports direct foreign investment in the country is up 18% so far this year. That's foreign companies that have pumped billions of dollars into China with things like factories or stores. But investment from U.S. firms fell by more than 20%. While some American companies continue to do well in China, others haven't been quite so lucky. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace China correspondent Rob Schmitz.
Fried chicken and Ford's. This all-American combo is having a banner year in China. Yum Brands, parent company of KFC and Pizza Hut, is actually making more money this year in China than the U.S. Ford Motors is another winner this year in China. Auto industry analyst Michael Dunn.
In the old days, it was Detroit and Texas. Big trucks down in Texas and big sedans in Detroit. Those just didn't fit markets like China. Today, the focus is on delivering products that Chinese people want.
Small fuel-efficient cars like the Ford Focus, one of its top sellers in China. On the flip side, GM saw its growth drastically slow from last year at this time. GM's still selling a lot of product here, though. The same can't be said for Best Buy, Home Depot, and Mattel. Best Buy pulled out of China earlier this year. Home Depot's closed stores, and Mattel's closed its Barbie flagship store in China, leaving a pink six-story glass building sitting empty in the middle of downtown Shanghai. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. World shares are mostly lower right now. A little later this morning, we're going to get the details of financial stress tests taken at 90 European banks. Critics say they won't likely be accurate given the scale of the Greek, Irish, and Portuguese debt crises. Wall Street yesterday, markets lost ground. The Nasdaq tumbled more than 1%. The Dow gave back 54 points to close at 12,437.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at IBM.com/engines. And by Putnam Investments, recognizing the value of financial advice since 1937. Putnam Investments, a world of investing.
In Germany today, air travel won't be quite so polluting. Lufthansa's become the first commercial airline to use biofuel for daily flights. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Eve Tro reports on what that means for the future of green flight.
To be clear, this is an experiment. Biofuel-powered jets won't crisscross the world anytime soon. Lufthansa is using a bioblend on one short route, Hamburg to Frankfurt, 8 flights a day for 6 months. Lots of airlines have done test flights that show biofuels work and they're safe. Martin Rieken at Lufthansa says daily flights will answer other questions.
Is it difficult to get the fuel? What is the technical impact on the engines? And the price of biofuel at the end will also determine success of it.
The bioblend costs more than double the price of regular jet fuel. Lufthansa says it's made from sources that don't compete with food crops. The German government chipped in about a third of the project's $10 million price tag. Steve Lott is with the Air Transport Association. He says the jump from testing to daily flights has gone faster than expected.
If you asked somebody 5 years ago, would we have commercial flights operating every day with biofuels, I don't think anyone would have believed it.
It's really huge.
Helene Becker follows the travel industry for investment bank Dahlman Rose. She says the airlines have good reason to switch to biofuels as fast as they can. Those prices are going down, while the price of traditional jet fuel is going up.
It's the biggest percentage of total operating expenses, number one. And number two, it's the most volatile and unpredictable.
She says a steady supply of biofuel from renewable sources would help airlines better predict their costs. And that could mean less wild swings in price every time you buy a plane ticket. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, Gentleman's Quarterly magazine has come up with a list of the 40 worst-dressed cities in the country. A couple of those included on the list, Portland, Oregon, where the magazine says you might see someone wearing a purple cape at a trendy hotel. Wasilla, Alaska made the list. And so did Boulder, Colorado, where GQ says the city's fitness-minded residents would, quote, actually look better naked. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Know your customers. It's basic. So for American firms going to China, here's a tutorial.
You know, a lot of these are migrants. They'll move from these cities, striking it big. They've got their college education, and it's kind of empowering. And so we're trying to capture that in terms of how we are positioning Chevrolet.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What you need to know about the biggest market on the planet. It's our series, The 5-Year Plan, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.